So the Democrats obviously have their priorities straight. While Democrats spent the night jabbering about abortion and $15 minimum wage and climate change, jihadists stormed into a church in Saint-Étienne-du-Rouvray in Normandy, France, and proceeded to behead an 86-year-old priest while shouting, "Jesus lives!" Just joking. They were yelling Allahu Akbar, but you probably knew that. This is the fifth jihadist attack in Europe in 11 days. So, how many times did Democrats mention ISIS last night and yesterday? There were 61 speakers. Zero times. That's right, 61 speakers, zero mentions for ISIS. But the Democrats did find time to put an illegal immigrant on stage. Also, an irritating comic actress who uses her spare time to auction sanitary napkins, Sarah Silverman. They also found time to take down offensive Mississippi state flags and wave Palestinian ones on the floor of the convention. They found time for another actress who claimed that the border crossed her family, and a video from J.J. Abrams about that queen of mystery and light, Hillary Clinton. The Democrats know their priorities. Defeating ISIS isn't one of them. They're too busy cheering lustily for a 74-year-old loon bag preaching discredited evils responsible for the murder of 100 million people in the 20th century to worry about another evil murdering priests in Normandy, fireworks, watchers in Nice, gay nightclub goers in Orlando, and children in Jerusalem. Sure, it was just night one of the convention, but the disconnect on the issue kind of says volumes. Republicans worry about terrorism and crime. Democrats worry about whether men who think they're ladies can go pee-pee next to the women. Last week, the media complained that Donald Trump's RNC convention speech was too, quote-unquote, dark. Perhaps it was dark because the Democrats have created a rather dark world for us to occupy, even as they blindly refuse to acknowledge it. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Tend to demonize people who don't care about your feelings.
So, first of all, I want to thank our new sponsor, brand new sponsor. We love our sponsors, FrameBridge.com. So FrameBridge.com, what they do is they make these fantastic frames, and you order them online. You send your pictures to them, and they can frame them for you and send them back. That's the basic idea, and they're way cheaper than the normal frame store. So if you've ever framed a lot of stuff, I do. I frame a lot of stuff. I have two kids, and I have lots of memorabilia. When you frame stuff, it's super expensive. Whatever, it'll cost you $50 for a photo, and then it'll cost you $300 to frame the stupid thing. FrameBridge.com gets rid of all of those worries. So the way this works is that you go to FrameBridge.com, promo code Ben, FrameBridge.com, promo code Ben. And what you do is you can send your stuff to them, and then they send you the frame back, the framed photo back. And they're very careful with everything. They always make sure that, I mean, they're the ones taking on the risk. They make sure that you get your photo back framed exactly the way that you want it at really low, low price. The pricing is pretty straightforward. You can frame your favorite Instagram for $39, a small photo for $59, and your standard movie poster is $139, which is actually, if you've ever really framed something nicely, these are actually fantastic deals. So the way it works, again, you go to FrameBridge.com, promo code Ben, and then you pick out the frame you want. You let their designers help you choose a frame. You can preview your item in any of the frame styles, and they send you a prepaid package to ship your item. So it's not like you have to just ship it to them. They send you the package, you ship it back to them. Or you can just upload the picture to them, and then they mail it to you. It is a fantastic, fantastic program. I'm excited that they've joined us. And by the way, when you support them, you support the show. So FrameBridge.com, promo code Ben. When you do that, you get a 15% discount on your first order. So again, that's FrameBridge.com, promo code Ben. And I'm super excited about that service. I actually just sent one of my really, really expensive photos that we got from a professional photographer of our children to them, and I'm looking forward to seeing what it looks like when it comes back. The materials they use are all top-notch, so FrameBridge.com, again, promo code Ben. Okay, so lots going on in the world, none of it good for Hillary Clinton. So the big disconnect last night was that Hillary Clinton's convention is off to a crap start. I mean, it is just garbaggio. It's a mess. It's a disaster area. And it's a disaster area in the best possible way, meaning the way that makes me laugh. And we need a little bit of laughs during this election. Somebody said the other day they can't wait for the election to be over, except that then Obama, at least he won't be president anymore, but then one of these other two people will be. So we just have to enjoy the circus while it lasts. At least that's fun. So yesterday at the convention, Hillary's name, the Bernie Sanders supporters are super ticked off, and they have a reason to be super ticked. The Democratic National Convention, basically the committee, rigged the primaries for Hillary Clinton. They were on Hillary's side the whole time. They were pushing out narratives against Bernie Sanders from the DNC, which they're not supposed to be doing. And so the Bernie Sanders supporters were understandably pretty ticked. Here is Hillary's name being mentioned at the convention, and here's what it looked like yesterday.
And we have got to elect Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine.
Gets booed.
Thank you.
This is awkward. Where is my pudding?
Brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters. This is the real world that we live in.
This is the real world that we live in. They're going, wait, Bernie, you've been telling us we live in the fantasy of a unicorn's ass for the last several years. So what are you talking about? The real world. You just told us we got free college and free healthcare and free everything because unicorns fart gold. And now you're telling me that this is the real world and I have to back Hillary Clinton. He's like, yes, unicorns do fart gold, but you also must vote for Lady Godiva atop that unicorn, Hillary Clinton. Okay, so he gets booed. Bernie Sanders gets booed by the Bernese people. Then Steny Hoyer, who's the House Minority Whip, he gets booed. He says, we're here to nominate Hillary, and things go wildly wrong. He's on the floor of the convention.
We're here to nominate Hillary Clinton because of her.
He gets booed. That's awesome.
Because of her ability, her experience, and her vision.
I'm going to yell at you now.
For our country.
We're going to nominate Hillary Clinton because if I don't come out here and nominate her, I'll be found in Fort Marcy Park with a hole in my face. Okay, so little Vince Foster humor there for you. He wasn't actually murdered, gang. He committed suicide. Okay, so then they gave the DNC invocation, and this is pretty funny. So they're invoking, first of all, anytime God gets invoked at the DNC, everybody starts booing because this is a pagan club. So they're not gonna cheer for God, obviously. I was at the DNC in 2012 when they literally cheered God. Like, literally. They wanted to put God back into the platform, and the Democrats actually booed it. So now the invocation gets booed through as soon as the speaker mentions Hillary's name.
We have an opportunity, O God, to give undeniable evidence of our commitment to justice and equality by nominating Hillary Rodham Clinton as our candidate.
And she gets booed. Don't.
Hallelujah.
And they're desperately trying to find the people who are cheering and not booing in the crowd, and she's sitting there going, oh, this was a bad one.
In the land. God, you have given us wisdom. Now
no.
Give us courage.
Okay, God definitely.
For the facing of this hour.
And they're chanting Bernie right now. Look at these guys. The Bernie bros over there chanting Bernie. And then you've got the women chanting Hillary. So now you got Bernie versus Hillary fight, which is the greatest slap fight since Napoleon Dynamite.
Unite us, O God, in one party. It is in your mighty name that we pray.
Okay, you guys threw God out of your party a long time ago. He has no interest in walking through that door. Okay, so that's not even how great it was. So the Bernie bros, so you remember after the Republican convention, the entire media were saying that it was just awful, that Republicans were chanting lock her up about Hillary Clinton. Just terrible that they were cheering lock her up about Hillary Clinton. Turns out, the Bernie people also want Hillary to go to jail so that Bernie will take the nomination. So here is one of the Bernie bros basically wearing a Feel the Burn shirt saying, yeah, I was chanting lock her up. She should be locked up. She's a criminal.
I did not hear chants of lock her up, although there have been reports of that. Did you chant lock her up at that event today?
Well, earlier in the breakfast meeting, we did chant that a little bit. I mean, at this point, that's what she is, and that's what the right's going to do, right? So we need to get that exposed now so that the superdelegates understand that the poll numbers are what the poll numbers really are. And we don't want Hillary nominated because we do not want Trump to win.
And are you going to watch her speech on Thursday night?
I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's definitely going to hurt the ears if we do stay and watch it. But, there's some people that may be thinking about leaving.
You can't call him shrill because he's a leftist. That's the way this works. If you're a leftist, you can call Hillary a shrill witch who rides around on a broom. If you're a right winger and you say that, then that means you're a sexist. So I love this. The Bernie Sanders supporters are openly saying, hell no, we're not going to vote for Hillary Clinton. Here's a few more of them saying this.
Hell no, DNC, we won't vote for Hillary. Hell no, DNC, we won't vote for Hillary. vote for Hillary. Hell no, DNC.
Okay, and they just walk around chanting this. And they're chanting, hell no, DNC, we won't vote for Hillary, which is pretty spectacular. And by the way, the polls show that a lot of them won't vote for Hillary Clinton. At least 10% of the Democrats are talking about not voting for Hillary Clinton, and it might be more than that. Remember, 40% of Democrats voted for Bernie Sanders in the primaries, and about 30% of those, right, it's about 12% total of the Democratic Party, 12% is saying, yeah, we may not show up. And they haven't shown up in the past because Bernie was bringing some new people to the polls. So the Bernie Sanders supporters are actually a threat to Hillary Clinton. So if you're not noticing the theme here, the theme is that the Democratic Party, for all the talk about how the Republican Party is divided, and it is, the Republican Party is significantly more united around Trump than the Democratic Party is around Hillary Clinton. And that's just a description. I'm one of the people who's not united behind Trump. But I'm just telling you, okay, the amount of pressure that's brought to bear on people like me by not only elites within the party, but elites in this business to back Trump is extraordinary. When it comes to Bernie Sanders, they're not getting the same kind of pressure. And so what you're getting instead is this vast gap in the Democratic Party. And these Bernie people don't care. I mean, they can always just go home and smoke pot. And if Hillary Clinton, you know, ends up being the president of the United States, they don't lose that much because Hillary's going to be a leftist. And if Trump ends up being president of the United States, and they don't lose that much because Trump ain't that far right. So it's pretty amusing. I mean, Trump is actually further to the left on trade than Hillary is. He mirrors Bernie Sanders' position. So it got even better. I mean, it's better and better. It's wonderful. Here are the delegates cheering the announcement of Debbie Wasserman Schultz's resignation. She, of course, resigned yesterday. She's the Democratic DNC chairwoman who resigned, and then she had to negotiate a flight back to Florida because they said, well, you don't work for us anymore, so we're not going to pay for your flight. And she said, pretty please? And they said, well, fine, but you have to have a middle seat. So here is Bernie Sanders announcing this in his own crowd, cheering the ouster of the DNC chairwoman.
As I think all of you know, Debbie Wasserman Schultz resigned yesterday as chair of the DNC. Her resignation opens up the possibility of new leadership at the top of the Democratic Party that will stand with working people. And that will open the doors of the party to those people who want real change.
Okay, so so everybody is tearing each other apart. And you can see this morning, apparently, there was a shouting match between Bernie and Hillary supporters. This was yesterday, actually, at the start of the DNC, a shouting match between the two sides. They're yelling at each other in the convention hall. Convention game. It's Hillary's convention. Well, the good news is that Hillary has a solution to all of this. We can stop it there. The good news is Hillary has a solution to all of this. She's just going to have her operatives go around and take away people's signs. This was actually happening in the arena yesterday. You'll see people holding up Bernie signs and DNC operatives going around and ripping down the signs out of the Bernie people's hands.
Evening. Fellow Democrats. And fellow Americans. I'm so proud to be addressing you.
So you see what he's doing? He's collecting. This guy here is collecting all of the Bernie signs. Shortly before that, he was actually taking them out of people's hands, and those people were trying to resist, which is pretty amusing. And the Bernie Sanders people are right. They're beside themselves. They're absolutely beside themselves. So the best thing yesterday of all was the crying Bernie Sanders supporters. This is clip 30. The Bernie Sanders supporters are just, they've lost their minds. I mean, they didn't have much of minds to begin with, considering they were supporting a socialist loon bag who's 87,000 years old. Look at them weeping. Yeah, it's very sad. I love the guy in the Peter Pan hat. He's my personal favorite. I love the music. Oh, tragedy strikes. There's a lot of people who are working behind your local counter at the Starbucks who are very, very upset about Bernie going down in flames. Okay, so they're really, really upset about this. And they have a right to be upset. I mean, he was gypped. And he was cheated out of this, and everybody knows that he was cheated out of this. And so this whole thing is really delicious. The Democrats are trying to bring this whole thing together. Sarah Silverman, who, as I mentioned before, one of the least funny people in the United States, all she does is do things in a cutesy voice and then talk about poop and pee and sex and vaginas. So Sarah Silverman, she goes out there and she does a routine on stage. God, I can't even look at her. She's so charmless. And she says she's a Bernie Sanders supporter. And she says the Bernie people are being crazy.
So I tell you this, I will vote for Hillary with gusto. Continue to be inspired and moved to action by the ideals set forth by Bernie, who will never stop fighting for us. I am proud to be a part of Bernie's movement, and a vital part of that movement is making absolutely sure that Hillary Clinton is our next president of the United States. Booyah, Baba Booey.
Booyah, Baba Booey. Yep, she's a charmer. So the...
That was pretty good, Sarah. Hillary.
Unity. Unity. Unity.
Hillary.
Wow, disaster area.
The Bernie, can I just say, to the Bernie or bust people, you're being ridiculous.
She's so upset. And this is, okay, so I want to point something out here.
It's a stretch, so I figured I'd add that.
Okay, so she's obviously very upset. Now, the reason she's upset is not because the Bernie or bust people are being ridiculous. She's upset because she's been shamed, right? She was a leading Bernie supporter, and there she is on stage, and Bernie Sanders is on stage too. And they're both up there doing this routine where now everybody's behind Hillary Clinton. And the Bernie people are making her feel bad about herself. You can see it in that clip. She feels bad about herself that she's backing Hillary Clinton now. She feels like a sellout, and she feels like a traitor, and she should. Right? And she feels that way, right? And she feels that she's betraying her principles by doing it, so she has to try and shame everybody on the Bernie side into getting behind Hillary. So all this is rolling out, and it's delicious. I want to talk about the media response to this, because this just tells you the whole story where the media are, because it's truly amazing. And there will be Chris Matthews impersonations galore. So you'll have to go to dailywire.com for it, because our Facebook Live has come, unfortunately, to a crashing halt. So you go to dailywire.com to subscribe. You can see the rest of our magnificent show. And you can also go to podcast. You can go to iTunes or SoundCloud to download the number one conservative podcast in America by leaps and bounds. So check that out, and check us out at dailywire.com, and subscribe for $8 a month, because otherwise you're just being stingy and terrible. Dailywire.com is where you want to be. Cowabunga, y'all. Okay, so every time we play that cue. So the media, all this goes down, right? And it's chaos. It's chaos. And the Democrats feel terrible about themselves. And Sarah Silverman doesn't know what to do with herself. Is she supposed to auction used sanitary napkins for abortion? What is she supposed to... She did that, by the way, in Texas. Is she supposed to... What does she do with herself? She can't make cutesy poop jokes up there when people are yelling at her. It's also upsetting. Okay. And then here's how the media covered this thing. So I wish we had the cue from... I wish we had the cue from Peer Gynt. By Grieg, with the nice music that you always see with like the animated picture of the deer eating in a meadow, because that's what's going on in the media's head, right? The da 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 da, because that's what's going on in their heads right now. Okay, so NBC News, here is Andrea Mitchell watching all this chaos, right? Watching this break out into the open. Here's Andrea Mitchell saying that everything is just magnificent. It's just great.
Passion and purpose at the Democratic National Convention. The night's main speaker, Bernie Sanders, getting an emotional, prolonged ovation.
Thank you!
Moving some of his followers to tears. Emil Sanders closed the night, throwing his support to his former adversary. It was Michelle Obama who stole the show, taking veiled shots at Donald Trump without mentioning his name.
But for all of the discord in the city of brotherly love, there was also plenty of celebration.
Like a bridge.
From Paul Simon to Philly favorites Boys to Men and Eva Longoria. But it was First Lady Michelle Obama who brought down the house.
Okay.
Taking thinly
veiled
shots.
So if you watch any of the convention,
reminding a divided...
We can stop it there. So if you didn't watch any of the convention, the impression that you would get from this media coverage is that it was just a wild, raucous, fun event. No bad blood. Everything was just great. You know, you got that deer eating from the little, drinking from the little stream over here, and the birds flittering in the background. Everything is just spectacular. Chris Matthews. All right, I'm going to say, man, it comes over to the show. That's beautiful. Have you ever seen anything unbelievable? It's unbelievable. Have you ever seen anything like this? I've never seen anything like this. I've seen many things my entire life. I've never seen anything quite like this, and I've seen so many things. I mean, I have seen a monkey climb a tree. I have seen it at the zoo. And let me tell you about the zoo. I love the zoo, although one time I almost fell into the pit and Harambe almost dragged me around, but it was great. But in any case, I've seen so many things, so many wonderful things. Let's talk about what happened over at the Democratic National Convention. I was about to say, go!
I think the most important speech tonight was Bernie Sanders. I know there'll be more, there'll be the roll call, there'll be more rhetoric. But I have to tell you, I think the Democrats' first night may turn out to be more successful than the Republicans last night. I thought it had a lot of charm and happiness. It had Al Franken's humor, perhaps a bit too sophisticated for some people, but it was brilliant. And I just thought the whole night was a slugger's row of wonderful sentiments from the high esteem that the first ladies received to the passionate of the progressives to the good sportsmanship and better of Bernie Sanders. He really laid it in there for Hillary Clinton tonight. And if his followers don't follow him, that's their call. But you can't ask more than what he said tonight. So overall, for putting things together for what we call in politics fence mending, a 10 strike.
Everybody's wearing Peter Pan hats at this convention. Oh, Robin Hood. Oh, thank you. Okay, I thought it was Peter Pan. That makes more sense. But they do live in Neverland, so. But I love that. It's also thrilling. I mean, just so beautiful from beginning to end. I feel a thrill going up my leg, up the back of my thigh, up my buttocks, all the way up the top of my shoulders, around the top of my head, back down again, through my nose, up my larynx, through my intestines, and out my butt. That's how thrilled I am. It was just unbelievable. Unbelievable in every way. Thank you, Mike Golisikoff. Okay, so, and then MSNBC goes further. They say that what Sarah Silverman did, you just watched it, right? She looks awkward, and she doesn't understand why she's there. And MSNBC says it was important and significant what Sarah Silverman did.
Unity! Unity! Unity!
Hillary! Hillary!
The Bernie, can I just say, to the Bernie or bust people,
imagine being married to that.
You're being ridiculous.
Sarah Silverman of the great state of New Hampshire, to dismiss her as a comedian speaking to this convention would, I think, dismiss the potential of a real moment there.
That was an important speech and a really important ad lib.
Yeah.
In terms of the way it was greeted and what it meant.
Our friends were watching with us. What'd you think?
Gene, what did you
think? Well, we're waiting for the political heavy hitters.
Gene was moved by the moment, obviously.
No, this heavy hitting lineup that's coming later in the evening, that could have been the most significant speech of the evening.
It was so significant.
Speaking as a Bernie supporter.
But as a Bernie person.
And then a comedian who works blue said that the Bernie supporters should cut it out. That was a significant moment. I love Brian Williams sitting there intoning like a serious journalist. He had just flown in straight from Iraq after having strafed a column of enemy troops. And he sat down and he explained how significant that moment was. And then CNN and MSNBC, they loved Cory Booker's speech. Cory Booker's speech was just magnificent, according to CNN. CNN loved it. It was so great.
Jake, that was a powerful, powerful speech and introduction to the American people from him.
He was on Hillary Clinton's shortlist to be VP, and I think even though he's not the keynote speaker of this convention, Elizabeth Warren is, that might as well have been the keynote address. That was a crowd pleaser like no speech I have seen at a convention since a young state senator named Barack Obama in 2004.
That was a hell of a speech. It was a long speech delivered with a ton of energy, and that last page of it, that last five or six paragraphs, that was
what you call a windup.
Yeah, well, you know what? It was more like, instead of like a home run hitter getting his at-bat, that was like batting practice, over the fence, over the fence, over the fence.
It's reminiscent of the Barack Obama speech in 2004. I mean, this is the first one out of the gate that is a really, really powerful speech.
Wow, you mean the people at MSNBC love the Democrats?
I think it was a brilliant
speech. Okay, I can't
speech.
Watch it anymore. I can't do it. Okay, so the lesbian porn mention for people who are listening and not watching is because Bill Clinton suddenly appears on screen clapping and kind of staring off into space, and I don't know why I'm here, but there are some images behind my eyes that are not PG rated. Okay, so the media, obviously, they turn this entire night, and we don't have to belabor the point. The media turned this entire night into, it's just a massive win. So if you've noticed, the first 10 minutes of the show, we played all the audio from what actually happened at the convention. And then you get the media. And the media, oh, my God, what a beautiful event. It was like a wedding. It was like a wedding. So you watch the first part, and it's Kosovo. And then the media come back, and it's just, I mean, my goodness. It was like they were making beautiful love to one another on the convention floor. It's just, it's incredible. So that's point number one I want to make. The media have an agenda here, okay? The Republicans demonstrated that they were not unified at the RNC, and then Trump made a speech that was very popular. That's the story of the RNC. The story of the DNC is the DNC chairwoman is fired from her job on day one and thrown out of the place without a plane ticket. And the Bernie Sanders people are shouting lock her up about their own nominee. And the speakers are yelling at the Bernie Sanders people. So what's the coverage? The coverage night one at the convention, at the Republican convention, was floor battles, Melania Trump plagiarizes from Michelle Obama. The media coverage last night was, yeah, there was some enthusiasm, but nothing really important happened. They were booing their nominee. Yeah, something a little important happened last night that has ramifications beyond just the convention. That's point number one. Point number two, you keep hearing from the media that the Republicans are just this extreme, terribly extreme party. My big problem with the Republican Party now is that the Republican Party is not conservative. I mean, Donald Trump is not conservative. They trotted out, I think there were zero mentions of abortion, except for maybe Ted Cruz mentioning it once during his speech at the Republican National Convention. There was no talk about same-sex marriage. There was no talk about limited government or constitutional liberty. It was a big government convention for the Republicans. They trotted out Peter Thiel to say that the culture wars didn't matter at all. The extreme party in America right now is not the Republican Party. I mean, they're fighting just to remain conservative and relevant. The Democratic Party is wildly extreme. We'll show you how extreme they are. So here's what happened. The Democrats were doing the Pledge of Allegiance. Dinesh D'Souza was standing outside where they were doing the Pledge of Allegiance. And here is a picture. Do we have a picture of Dinesh? So Dinesh, whose new movie is Hillary's America, by the way, which you should go see, they printed the text of the Pledge of Allegiance, and they scrolled it above him, right? I mean, this is during the convention. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible. When they got to under God, not there. So a bunch of people just skipped under God in the Pledge of Allegiance because this is how it works at the Democratic National Convention. Then there's Eva Longoria, right? Eva Longoria, who you saw mentioned, she speaks at like every DNC now, even though she hasn't been relevant since she was hot in Desperate Housewives, and now she's starting to look a little bit more dumpy. And Eva Longoria, she shows up and she speaks, but she says she's a ninth generation American. But she's not really an American. She's really a Mexican. And here's what she says.
Texas used to be part of Mexico. Now, I'm ninth generation American. My family never crossed a border. The border crossed us.
Ears. I never crossed the border. The border crossed us.
So
it's still Mexico? Is that the idea?
So when Donald Trump calls us criminals and rapists, he's insulting American families. My father is not a criminal or rapist. In fact, he's a United States veteran.
Okay, we can stop it there. So Eva Longoria doing this routine. First of all, Donald Trump was talking about illegal immigrants. He's talking about illegal immigrants, and he wasn't talking about all illegal immigrants, but this is how extreme they are. You've got them using actual La Raza slogans. That's a La Raza slogan, that we never crossed the border crossed us. And usually the next consequent thought in that chain of logic is that it's still Mexican territory. Right? We didn't move, the border moved, and therefore this really is Mexican territory. Okay, how extreme are they? So you have an illegal immigrant speaking at the Democratic National Convention. This woman is not in the United States legally. Her name is Astrid Silva. She's 28 years old. Her brother was born here, but she wasn't. She came when she was four. And here she is talking about how she deserves to be here, even though she's here illegally.
When I was 4 years old, my mother and I climbed into a raft. And we crossed the river to join my father in America in search of a better life. All I had was a little doll. I grew up like an ordinary girl. My dad worked as a landscaper, and my mom stayed at home with my brother and I. But while my friends did ordinary things, I couldn't, because my parents were afraid that someone might discover I was undocumented. My family believed so.
Number one. She's standing on the stage at a Democratic National Convention. The president's wife is in the audience. Okay, is she really living in fear of being deported? I'm going to go no there. And there is something mildly troubling about having somebody who's actually here in the country illegally speaking on the stage at a major convention. She's not a United States citizen. Does that mean she should never become one? No, that's not my case. The case I'm making is that the Democrats are so extreme, they will put an actual illegal immigrant on the stage. How extreme are the Democrats? They've got Bill Clinton. There's a picture of Bill Clinton with Cecile Richards. Okay, so Bill Clinton is he's sitting next to Cecile Richards, and he's whispering something to her, presumably some sweet nothings. But Cecile Richards is the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood. Okay, that organization is responsible for the killing of 300,000 babies a year in the United States, and she's in the president's box. And that's how extreme the Democrats are. So before you talk about how extreme the Republicans are, start with the fact that the Democrats have an illegal immigrant on stage, have a speaker who gets up there and says that the border crossed us. And by the way, tonight, you know who's speaking? Tonight, they have the mothers of the movement. Who are the mothers of the movement? I've mentioned this before. This is the mothers of Michael Brown. This is the mothers of Trayvon Martin. This is the mothers of Sandra Bland. This is the mothers of Eric Garner. Okay? Michael Brown tried to take a gun and murder a cop, and he was shot. His mother is speaking at the Democratic National Convention. And we're having cops murdered all around the country right now. And the Democrats' first response to that is, let's have to the convention members of the Black Lives Matter movement who are responsible for at least incentivization of rioting. And we're going to have these mothers come in whose sons were involved in criminal activity like Michael Brown, and we're going to make them heroes. I mean, that's pretty extreme stuff. And again, yesterday, there were 61 speakers. The Democrats didn't mention ISIS one time. You can tell what their priorities are. Okay, so now to the actual speeches a little bit. So the Michelle Obama got the biggest plaudits of the night. To understand what Michelle Obama did last night, first, a quick flashback. This is Michelle Obama in 2008. Okay, this is her speaking in 2008 when her hubby was running for president for the first time. And here's what she had to say about America back then.
Hope is making a comeback. It is making a comeback, and let me tell you something. For the first time in my adult lifetime, I'm really proud of my country. And not just because Barack has done well, but because I think people are hungry for change.
This is the first time in 2008 she's ever been proud as an adult of her country. Okay, clip 25. Here's Michelle Obama last night.
And because of Hillary Clinton, my daughters and all our sons and daughters now take for granted that a woman can be president of the United States.
Goodness. This, we need clip 25. We need the next clip.
So look. So, don't let anyone ever tell you that this country isn't great. That somehow we need to make it great again. Because this right now is the greatest country on earth.
How funny how she's brought that slogan back. Okay. So let's do a thought experiment. What changed in the last 8 years? 8 years ago, she said that this is the first time she'd ever been proud of her country. Now, it's the greatest country on earth. Don't let anybody, even me 8 years ago, tell you that America isn't a wonderful place. What's changed? The answer is nothing's changed except her husband was president. And she got to live in this Versailles Palace in Washington, D.C. That's all that's changed. So one of two things is true. Either she's the most self-centered person on earth, And what happens to her is how the country is, right? She gets to be first lady, so the country's great now. Or, alternatively, she's just out there defending her husband's record. And so they have to pretend the country is wonderful because hubby runs it. Even though hubby's done a terrible, terrible job. And President Obama's a garbage president, like a really garbage president. So the media were all over this. Oh, what a wonderful, uplifting, optimistic speech. It's not going to help the Democrats, that speech. The reason it's not going to help the Democrats is because Americans are not in an optimistic mood. We're looking around the world, and again, this morning, an 86-year-old priest was beheaded in the middle of France, in Normandy. And he was beheaded by a couple of ISIS guys. And that's the fifth terrorist attack in Europe in the last 11 days. And we're supposed to feel optimistic? We're supposed to feel good? We're seeing cops who are being shot in massacres in the United States. We're supposed to feel good about the state of the country? The economy's been basically stagnant for the last 7 years. We're supposed to feel great about all of this? We're supposed to feel really optimistic? Listen, I think America is the greatest country on the face of the earth, but I've been saying that forever. I'm not a newbie on this. America is the greatest country on the face of the earth in spite of the left's attempts to destroy it. It was her husband who was saying the country had to be fundamentally transformed. And what makes the country the greatest country on earth is the founding principles, not Michelle Obama saying that Hillary Clinton's a woman and she can be president. America was the greatest country on the planet long before Hillary Clinton was born and will be the greatest country on earth if founding principles are restored long after Hillary Clinton is gone. The idea that, but this is how Democrats operate, right? If we're in charge, America's great. If Republicans are in charge, America sucks. Democrats are in charge right now, and America is great. It is a great country, but only because of the founding principles, and they're running it off the rails. That's the reality. So she gives this speech, and everybody's all happy about it, but that just demonstrates that for the Democrats, whether America's great or not is a matter of the moment. Whether America's great or not just depends on who's the president at the time. If Clinton's president, America's great. If Obama's president, America's great. If George W. is president, America's terrible. Okay, then Elizabeth Warren gets up there. Elizabeth Crazy McCann's Warren. And she gets up there, and she basically gets booed by the crowd because she was supposed to be the stalwart in favor of the socialist principles, right? She was supposed to be the person ripping on Hillary's corruption and her incestuous relationship with the big banks and Goldman Sachs. And instead, she gets up there, and now she's pumping Hillary pretty hard. So here is Elizabeth Warren pumping Hillary pretty hard.
When we turn on each other, we can't unite to fight back against a rigged system.
Okay, she says, if we turn on each other, we can't fight back. We can't fight back against a rigged system. The rigged system, she believes, is apparently the economy, right? The economy's rigged. But the system is actually rigged. Like, her DNC was actually rigged against Bernie Sanders for Hillary Clinton. So this carries no weight, and the crowd knows that it carries no weight. So she keeps speaking, and at a certain point, the crowd starts chanting, and you'll hear what they're chanting.
You know, for me, this choice is personal. It's about who we are as a people. It's about what kind of a country we want to be. I grew up in Oklahoma. My daddy ended up as a maintenance man. And my mom worked a minimum wage job at Sears.
Okay, so she's speaking right through it, but the guy is chanting.
My three brothers served in the military.
Okay, so the people there are chanting, "We trusted you," right? Yeah, does this look like a party that's divided or a party that's coming together? You know, and by the way, you shouldn't never trust socialists, gang. They're out for your money. I love when she talks about free college tuition. How much money she was paid as a professor at Harvard Law when I was there? I mean, I knew Elizabeth Warren. She was paid $435,000 a year as a professor at Harvard University Law School. Right? That's what she was paid while she was there. Ironically, she actually taught property while she was there. So I guess that she was going to take everybody else's property. So that was Elizabeth Warren's speech. The big highlight of the night was not Michelle Obama, despite the media's accolades for her. She'll be running for office in what time is it? A couple of minutes. But the big bombshell of the night was, of course, Bernie Sanders. So first, we just have to point out Bernie Sanders is an amusing fellow. Here is what it looked like before Bernie Sanders went on stage. So he's carrying his speech, and he drops it, and then he looks all confused and weird. And yeah, that's Bernie Sanders. That's the guy who's going to save America, gang. That's the 98-year-old socialist who honeymooned in the Soviet Union and was too lazy for a commune. Legitimately, in the 1960s, he was thrown out of a commune because he was sitting around talking Marxist politics instead of doing work. He was thrown out of the commune because it turns out his own actions are not communistic. So he gets up there and he receives this massive standing ovation. I mean, the biggest ovation
Sanders
by far.
Sanders from Vermont.
Thank you.
speech.
Where am I? Everyone is cheering.
Thank you.
I haven't felt this good since I last took a shower 6.5 years ago.
Thank you.
Why are you crying? Did someone
Thank
cut an onion
much.
In here?
Thank you. Thank you. It is.
Okay, let me stop here. So the fact is that they're cheering this guy wildly. This is a man who's never done anything with his life. I mean, anything. He's actively made the world a worse place by backing communist dictators all across the planet. And he's getting a standing O at the Democratic National Convention. And then look how tepid the support is when he says that he was backing Hillary Clinton. He says to the supporters, this election isn't about Hillary Clinton. And people are less than enthused.
This election is not about and has never been about Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or Bernie Sanders or any of the other candidates who sought the presidency. This election is not about political gossip. It's not about polls. It's not about campaign strategy. It's not about fundraising. It is not about all the things that the media spends so much time discussing. This election is about and must be about the needs of the American people and the kind of future we create for our children and our grandchildren.
Okay, so that is the Democratic Convention in a nutshell, is absolute chaos and punctuated by wild leftism. And tonight we can look forward to President Bill Clinton is speaking, where he will repudiate everything good he ever did during the 1990s at the behest of his wife. He'll say he was wrong about crime. He wasn't. He'll say he was wrong about lowering the capital gains tax rate. He wasn't. He'll say that he was wrong about welfare reform. He wasn't. And then he'll go out and he'll talk about Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton, I love you. I haven't seen you in at least 37 years, but I love you nonetheless. So that'll be very inspiring, I'm sure. And it'll come right after the mothers of the movement. What a horror show this convention is. I'm not sure that Hillary gets a bump from this convention. The reason I say that is because in the end, it's going to come down to Hillary speaking on Thursday night, and she's the most charmless person. I mean, here's the thing about Trump. Most people in America haven't been watching this election cycle that closely. You and I have, because we're here every single day. But most people are just tuning in now. And the first they saw of Trump was Trump bellowing into a microphone for 75 minutes, but bellowing about issues that they actually care about. The first time they see Hillary is going to be on Thursday night. And it's not the first time they've seen her. They've seen her for 25, 30 years, right? And they're going to look at her and they're going to go, oh, her again? Seriously? Really? People like she's got no upward mobility in these polling numbers. All she can do really is tear down Trump. Presumably she'll try to do that a little bit. The problem is she's so corrupt that every attack on Trump, if he's rubber and she's glue, then, you know, the rest. So in any case, I don't see a big bump coming out of this convention for Hillary. I think it's going to be tight for a little while. Events are clearly driving this election cycle. It's almost beyond the point of personality. Normally, personality dictates elections. Right now, because Hillary and Trump are both so disliked, events are dictating the nature of the election cycle. So if there's a terrorist attack, it helps Trump. If there's a cop who shoots a black guy, it helps Hillary. It's an ugly politics when your ideas are basically not relevant anymore. It's just how you react on a moment-to-moment level to the things going on around you. But that's what our politics has been turned into. And that's unfortunate. But this convention has not been going well for the Democrats. Don't believe what the media have to tell you. And the fact that they keep saying it's going well should be proof positive that they should never be trusted ever again. Okay, time for things I like, and then a thing I hate. Okay, so thing I like. We're doing Russians as the villains in film this week because of the Russians. The Democrats say that the Russians hacked the DNC and passed out all these emails. So yesterday we did Eastern Promises. Today it's the hunt for Red October. So I will say this is an unpopular opinion, but hey, that's what I do for a living. So unpopular opinion, Alec Baldwin is a better Jack Ryan than Harrison Ford. Okay, they played the same part. I love Harrison Ford in some things, but he's not as good a Jack Ryan as Alec Baldwin, because Alec Baldwin, it may be utterly untrue, but he can at least give the impression of intelligence on screen. You know, Harrison Ford is too much fun to be Jack Ryan. Jack Ryan's supposed to be kind of a serious character with a little bit of a brooding dark side, and Alec Baldwin does that better because he's leaving terrible messages on his ex-wife's phone message machine. So here is Alec Baldwin and Sean Connery, the weirdest Russian in the world, in The Hunt for Red October, which is a great movie.
Sean Connery, Alec Baldwin, Sam Neill, Scott Glenn, The Hunt for Red October.
I'm telling you, he wants to defect.
I'll shake the man loose.
Rightful rudder. Counsel, not crazy eye.
It's a lot of images, so you can't see it, which is why you need to subscribe at Daily Wire. But The Hunt for October, really, really good movie. If you've never seen it, it's a lot of fun. It's the best of the Tom Clancy flicks. After this, they did. There's actually a couple that are really good. Clear and Present Danger is really good and has one of my favorite lines in movie history, so we'll have to save that for another time. But The Hunt for October is the best of the Jack Ryan films. Okay, time for some things that I hate. So, quick detail on this ISIS attack in Normandy. Apparently, ISIS, you know, kills this priest. They walk into a church and they just slaughter the guy. He's 86 years old, and they slaughter him literally on the altar. According to Sister Danielle de la Fosse, she was able to escape the attack. Before she fled, she told the station she witnessed the perpetrators, who are filming the attacks, gather around the church altar and perform some sort of religious oration in Arabic before forcing Hamill to his knees and placing a knife to his neck. The congregants pled with the attackers to stop, she said. Okay, the police apparently had an electronic tag on the guy. And that wasn't enough. So he went and he killed the priest. Anyway, again, religion of peace, religion of peace. It's always the religion of peace that's involved in these sorts of things. And it's really quite terrible. First of all, if you know the city, the reason you know the city is because you know your World War II history. But the cathedral itself, the church in which it took place, a beautiful, beautiful place. Obviously, the murder of the priest is pretty incredible. And I hope that it will jog the Europeans into further awareness that it is not a smart idea to bring in unvetted Muslim immigrants to their continent, because it's going to continue to be a problem. Okay, final thing I want to discuss today. Michael Jordan has now decided that he has to sound off about the police and black people. So he released a statement, did Michael Jordan. He's been kind of studiously non-political for years. And there's this tendency because the sports media tend to be left also and are very strongly left, they're constantly trying to push athletes into making statements of conscience because they think that this makes a big deal. Here's what Michael Jordan just wrote. He wrote, "As a proud American, a father who lost his own dad in a senseless act of violence, and a black man, I've been deeply troubled by the deaths of African Americans at the hands of law enforcement and angered by the cowardly and hateful targeting and killing of police officers. I grieve with the families who have lost loved ones. I know their pain all too well. I was raised by parents who taught me to love and respect people regardless of their race or background, so I'm saddened and frustrated by the divisive rhetoric and racial tensions that seem to be getting worse as of late. I know this country is better than that. I can no longer stay silent. We need to find solutions that ensure people of color receive fair and equal treatment, and that police officers who put their lives on the line every day to protect us all are respected and supported." And then he talks about the dedication of law enforcement officers, and he says he has respect for their sacrifice and service. And then he says, "I also recognize for many people of color, their experiences with law enforcement have been different than mine. I've decided to speak out in the hope we can come together as Americans through peaceful dialogue and education, achieve constructive change." So here's my problem. My problem is not, obviously, that he's praising the cops. My problem is that there is this false notion that every time you talk about the cops, you have to say, well, I've had good experiences with the police, but black people all over the United States are being targeted by the cops. Michael Jordan's father was killed by a couple of black guys. He was murdered by a couple of black guys. And their race is irrelevant, except for the fact that the vast majority of black men who are killed in the United States are killed by other black people. The idea that the police are targeting black folks, Jordan could have done better than this. Jordan could have said, look, my experience with police has been fantastic. I think the police are doing a really hard job, and I would call on more black Americans to think about how we lower the crime rate in our communities rather than suggesting that the cops are responsible for all of our problems. You know, this is really, I wish that there weren't such pressure for so many people, you know, to hop on the moral equivalence bandwagon, the police shooting black people and people shooting the police. It's not the same thing. Okay, final thing. Sean Spicer of the RNC just issued this statement. He was asked about David Duke. You know, we mentioned yesterday that David Duke is now running for Senate in Louisiana. And because it's a top two runoff system in Louisiana, there's a very good shot that David Duke ends up in the top two. Sean Spicer is the spokesperson for the RNC. He was asked, if party control of the Senate were up for grabs and the Supreme Court, would the RNC back Duke? He said, at some point, you have to stand up for some kind of principle. David Duke does not speak for where the Republican Party is. So where should they draw the line? He says, what was the Supreme Court ruling on limiting free speech? And you know it when you see it. I mean, at some point, when you're a white supremacist, that's a white and black issue. There's no gray, says Sean Spicer. Okay, if the only place that you can draw the line, if the only place that you can draw the line is at David Duke, I would suggest you're drawing your lines in the wrong place. And that goes for everyone across the political spectrum. Find your principle, stick by your principle. Principles won't fail you, people will. So stick with your principles. Okay, folks, that brings us to the end of today's show. I'm sure there will be more fun and games at the DNC tonight, particularly when they decide to bring forth the Black Lives Matter movement, which is what the Democratic Party is going to do tonight. We'll bring you all of the updates. And then on Thursday, we'll be broadcasting from Washington, D.C., because I have to speak at a Young America's Foundation dinner over there. But we will be live nonetheless, and we will make sure that you are there to see it. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.